Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad. And I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his messenger. And I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, guide, and warner in our midst. And it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to be back with you again on Young, Gifted, and Black tonight. And I greet you in our greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
And it is my, thank you, sir. And it is my distinct honor to have, we're going to have some more guests join us later. But, of course, as promised, we're going to dedicate all summer long from June 1st through September 30th, every Saturday night, dedicated to our missing black youth. And so tonight I have invited a few guests that they're not going to be coming on right away, but they're going to join us later on in the broadcast. But right now we have Brother, and I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, is it Akire Nicholson?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Okay. Well, welcome, Brother Akira. I know this is your first time with us. Thank you, dear brother, for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us tonight on this particular topic. And for you to be such a young man of 19 years old and to be interested in helping our community is so honorable. So, Brother Akira, I'm going to ask you to just come down front and send us over in. Tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into our topic tonight.
Well, my name is Brother Akira. I'm a member of the Nation of Islam of Shreveport. I'm a family man, and I attend Career Technical College, taking up criminal justice. to be a lawyer and to help my people.
Oh, thank you. Yes, sir. All praises do shall I. Okay, a criminal justice student. That's exactly what we need up in here, especially in this situation. So, you know, I want to share, and I'm going to do this later on in the broadcast too, for our other guests that are coming on. But I'm going to share with you some statistics that I received from the Department of Criminal Justice, from the Department of Justice from the United States. And that is the fact that in totality we have 949,000 missing youth. And when I say youth, I'm talking about persons who are under the age of 18 years. 949,000 plus. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that number was 949,700. So almost a million youth missing under the age of 18. Now that consists of all races. But of them, almost 300,000 of them are black. And some of these children have been missing since the database was actually created in 1983. But recently I found another website called the DOE website, D-O-E. So when a person is unidentified, they're called a Jane Doe or a John Doe for a male. And I was researching that website, and that website goes all the way back to the 50s. So we have missing persons that are not included in the statistics of today with the U.S. Department of Justice that have been missing since the 50s. So we really don't know what the number is. But we do know that more and more often in the past 10 years, more black children have come up missing more than ever before. And this time of year, during the school months, when the school months are out, this is the most prominent time of the year when black students and children in particularly come up missing. They come up missing all year long. But this seems to be the target season for young black children that come up missing. And what this show is about tonight, since this is about the third or fourth show that we've done on this, is actually about strategizing and planning what we're going to do in our committee, in our communities. And we want to form those committees and task force and want people to commit just on their own merit to be more vigilant in the community and form those task force in their communities to help watch out for our children. Now, when we get to talking about how they came up missing and what were the circumstances, they vary. You know, you have some pedophiles out there, you have serial killers out there, you have sex traffickers out there, you got, you know, all kinds of people out there. You have mothers who just want a child and they're kidnapping people. You know, we have all kinds of situations under which our children come up missing, but the fact that we need to stop this. And the only way we're going to stop this is that we become more vigilant in our communities. Us in the Nation of Islam have been taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that we have to do for self. Well, part of doing for self is, of course, maintaining your family. Maintaining your family means maintaining your children, keeping them safe inside as well as outside of the home. And so that's what we have to do. And so when we're talking about preparing ourselves to run a nation, when we say that we are the owners of the planet Earth, then we have a responsibility greater than anybody else on the Earth to take charge of situations that appear to be in this day and this time out of our control. So who else is going to do it? We can't depend on law enforcement to do it. Because 9 times out of 10, if it's sex trafficking, they're involved. I'm sorry, this is the actual fact. Because when you label sex trafficking as a business and you're able to earmark the amount of money that sex traffickers bring in, then therefore somebody in a higher power or higher status knows what is going on. And they are condoning it. That's just how much, that's how they know how much money dope brings in. Because they got their hands in it somehow. So we're not going to be naive. We're not going to sugarcoat this. We know that to some degree, at some point in some places, law enforcement is involved. So we can't even depend on them. But we do have to work with them to get those strategies and those tactics that they use to recover children and to find children, and so that when we're moving in the community, we won't be questioned. We have to be organized. We can't just stand up on the street corner and say, hey, this is what we're going to do. We have to be proactive in getting this done. And so, Brother Akira, I want you to tell me, now, you're from what part of Louisiana?
I'm from Shreveport, Louisiana.
Okay. So what about the missing children there?
Well, the same as everybody else, like, they come up missing, you know, some family missing their kids and stuff like that, and they don't be done about it.
And so it
got too much, and down here it's still based on a lot of racism, and so kids come up missing 24/7. You don't want to be home with their parents, either their parents, they know something that made them leave, or their parents not watching them, or they on their way to school, and they don't got no adult following them or guiding them. And then they come up
And so what is being done about that?
And ain't nothing been done.
That's a shame. Well, you know, the law enforcement has this code or rule that they go by. And I've shared this on the program before. The rule that they go by is that unless a parent or someone can prove that the child is missing under unusual circumstances, you know, that someone saw them being abducted, somebody saw them being forced into a car or whatever it is, then more than likely law enforcement is not going to get involved. They classify your child as a runaway, especially if they're over the age of 10. Also, the only thing that your child actually gets an Amber Alert is because of those odd and unusual circumstances. So even if you have a 5-year-old that just didn't come home from school one day, unless there are very suspicious circumstances under which that child disappeared, you know, they feel like the child has enough sense to run away from home if they desire it. And we know that more than likely, black children don't just run away from home. They don't just up and run away from home. And so these are the things that we're going to have to address in our communities. And I want, you know, I want everybody to participate because we need ideas. You know, I know that when we come on the show, we usually talk, we usually dialogue, somebody's hosting, somebody's asking questions, somebody's answering, but this is for everybody to get involved. And I want you to think about, especially if you're a parent, what would you do if law enforcement came to you and tell you, hey, your child is missing and their child ran away, and if you don't hear from them in 72 hours, we'll come back out here and take a report, you know. And by that time, usually in the first hour, your child is dead. And police officers know this as well. So what would you do if this happened? How would you organize people in your community to help search for your child? Would you wait on law enforcement for 72 hours before you go and look for your child? Well, of course you wouldn't. But the thing about it is that you're only one person.
That's right.
You know, you're only one person. So how do we organize our communities? And I want all of you who are listening, for those of you in the chat room, if you have ideas, go ahead and type in your ideas. For those of you on the phone, I want to hear from you all tonight. I want to hear your ideas. I want to hear what you think we can do better. And I'm going to start with you, Brother Enrique, and then we're just going to go down the line. So, Brother Enrique, what do you think we can do better in our community?
I think that we can do better by everybody recognizing for each other, not just as a parent or for the kids, you know, and be more on site of our children. And don't let them just strum around and just play in the backyard or whatever, be with them at all times. And if we turn out a situation like that, everybody should get together and go door to door looking for that missed child.
Yes, sir.
We can't always depend on law enforcement because some of them even work with the ones that are adopting the children.
right, absolutely. Okay, and Brother Ray, are you there?
I am, sis. How are you? Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Captain. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely great. I was going to chime in almost immediately because I think this is an epidemic. And let me start off by saying, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, Merciful, I bear witness there's no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I greet you in the radio, listen, audience in the nation, greeting words of peace of Assalamu alaikum. And for those of us who may not necessarily be Muslim, that only means peace. What's up? How you doing? What the beers? This is a very touching topic for me, simply because I'm a father of three, and I have other spiritual children that I fathered. And it would be almost devastating for me to get the call that my child is missing, that they cannot locate my child. And I think what we as a community do can kind of answer your question a little bit. I think what we can do as a community, first of all, charity starts at home and then it spreads abroad. We sit down and have a conversation with our children, and we make our children aware, yeah, we know that don't talk to strangers, and we know that when a stranger gets in their face, sometimes we think that it's cute, but that's not cute to me. You understand? Because what that did to me, what that does for me is make our children okay with strange people speaking with them. We should have a conversation with those small children and those teenage children to let them know if anyone that you don't know, first of all, have no contact with them. Second of all, if somebody trying to have a conversation with you and you don't know who they are, then you should be trying to get some type of an adult. We also should find recent pictures of our children. How often do these children come up missing and there's no recent photographs of our children? That we don't know what the hell they had on from yesterday to today. And we cannot give a definitive description of the things that of the clothes that our children are wearing. What color shoes did they have on? What color shirt did they have on? Did they have a bracelet on? We need to start paying more attention to our children and less attention to the things that going on that we have no business paying attention to anyway. My mother, when I was growing up, at the neighborhood knew everybody. There was no way possible you was going to come in my neighborhood and adopt one of the children because everybody was a parent to everybody. We have gotten away from that, and then if we say something to a child that's not ours, you understand, then the parent get wind in their jaws, and all we're doing is trying to look out for one another. It takes a village, and we so often say this, it's so cliche-ish now, it takes a village to raise a child. It really does take a village, not only to raise them, to secure them and protect them. So I think we can do a better job, sis, at building a community whereby we are in tune with one another. And what I mean by that is that we know our neighbors, and we know their children, and their children know us. And we're very comfortable around them, and they're very comfortable around us. We have to be a little bit more vigilant at teaching our children what they need to do. And this law enforcement, hell no to law enforcement. I can't wait. I can't see nobody wait 7 to 2 hours when a child is abducted. No, when you don't know where that child is, you go find that child. Calling neighbors, calling who you think that child's friends are. And that's another thing. We got to know who our children are associating with. And most of us don't, because our children are on Twitter and Instagram. They don't do Facebook, but they're on Twitter and Instagram wee wee hours in the morning while we're sleeping. And they may be having a conversation with someone that they may think is a child, but absolutely a pedophile, a molester, an adult. So we need to become a tad bit more vigilant, dear sis.
Yes, sir. And another thing that we need to do, Brother Ray, I don't know if parents are aware of it. You know, for me, I don't understand why any child under the age of 18 would have a Facebook, a Twitter, an Instagram account. But maybe that's just me. I'm old-fashioned. But the thing about it is that we have so much technology now. And what people don't realize is that when your child sets up an account, unless their settings are set to where only certain information is given, a person can use your Twitter, your Instagram, your Facebook, and locate where you are. They can use Google Earth and actually get a virtual view of the house in which you live in.
That is true.
Technology is not your friend. Technology has opened the door, and it makes me wonder, why would someone outside of law enforcement be privy to that information? It's almost like a setup. Because even as an adult, I turned my settings off because I don't think anybody that I'm socializing with on social media needs to know exactly where I live unless I tell them myself, not that that information is volunteered by a computer. You know, it's very, very dangerous. And I know that, you know, we want our children to be computer savvy or whatever, but we are doing more harm than good when we allow our children to, you know, play around on social media and put themselves at risk. You know, that's another factor in the matter.
And you're absolutely correct. And often, the parents don't even have the password to their children's account because they said that's invading the child privacy. Where the hell we get that from? What child got privacy anywhere? What do
that's
you
right.
mean? That's their child privacy and whatnot. What's happening is we don't have. We think that we're invading the child privacy, and pedophiles are all in the privacy of our children. And you're absolutely correct. So although I did allow my children growing up, my son had a Facebook account, but I went on that Facebook account. That Twitter account, I had his password, his Instagram. I had all of those things. And then at some parts of the day, all that mess shuts down. When I'm sleeping, you're not up on Facebook, bro. You're not up on Twitter and on Instagram. And, yeah, get wins in your jaw all you want to. I bust your behind because I didn't play that mess. You understand? So we have to be a lot more protective of our children and stop trying to be our children's damn friend. What is wrong with this parent thing now? We become a friend of our children, so our children think that they can handle the parent just like they will handle one of their friends.
That's right.
No, that's crazy to me, and I don't understand it. You spoil the wrong, you spoil the child. My mom beat hell out of me, and I still think I should have my mom arrest for what I think was child abuse. But it made me a better man. It made me into the man that I am today. And I wouldn't trade not one lick that woman gave me because she prepared me for life. And so often, you know, with technology being where it is today, I mean, this stuff is a two-edged sword. Yes, do we need it? Of course we do. Did I live without it? Of course I did. But in this dispensation of time, I don't think we can live without it. But how do we put the security mechanisms in place so we can protect our children? You know whom they're talking to. Yeah, they're going to set up dummy accounts. Every time they set up a dummy account, you be in their mouth like you're a dentist because they try to hide something. These are our children, and we need to sit down and have conversations with them, get what's on their minds, and really just get to know our children. And oftentimes we don't because we're too busy doing whatever else we're busy doing and then neglecting parenting our children. So now social media become the parent and the friend to our children.
Oh.
We got to get better.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Okay. And Brother Akiri, just hold on. We're going to hear from Brother Student Minister James. As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Brother James?
I'm sorry, okay. I was on mute. Wa alaykum as-salam. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you now.
All praises due to Allah. Very good. You know, as I was listening to Brother Ray's righteous indignation and anger at the degree to which parenting has been abdicated to others other than the parent. I was looking for a scripture. What we must understand is that, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan taught us, the Bible is our roadmap to freedom. Everything that we're going through, everything.
That's right. That's right, sir.
Is written there in prophecy. But what good is prophecy if we don't look at the prophecy and take advantage of the benefit of being forewarned? We can beat prophecy. It's not there just to let us know what's going to happen. It's there to forewarn us of what's going to happen so that we can avoid it. Prophecy
right.
is from prophets. But this is not the day of prophets. This is the day of God. I'm not a prophet. I wouldn't even subscribe to that cheap title right now. I don't mean any disrespect to any of the prophets, but none of you listening to me should subscribe, black people I'm talking to, should subscribe to that title. You're more than a prophet. The Bible teaches us that ye are all God's children of the Most High God. But I want you to bear with me for a couple of seconds while I get this scripture that speaks right to what our beloved Brother Ray was sharing with us. And I want to greet you, Brother Ray. Love to hear your voice, man. Sister Aziza
and
all of you.
Man, I'm Brother Minister. I love to hear yours even more, sir. How are you?
Yeah, I'm on top of the world by Allah's grace. I just want to find this Bible scripture. If you give me 1 second, please. Shouldn't be long. I can quote it, but I want to find it in the Bible so that I can send parents who are listening to it. Okay, this thing is taking all day long to load. Give me one moment. If it doesn't come in the next few seconds, I'll quote it. But I wanted to get right to it and then direct others who are listening to exactly where they can find it. Here it is. It's Isaiah, the 3rd chapter, the 12th verse. Look at what it states. And I found it on my computer. I want to get right to it in the scriptures. That's the 3rd chapter, the 12th verse. And it reads, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them."
That's right.
Now, see, this is exactly what Brother Ray is talking about. As you stated, Brother Ray, we try to befriend our children,
yes,
as
sir.
Opposed to parenting them. We're the quote-unquote modern society, or the modern family, if you will. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
Children, the scripture says. And this is talking to a specific people, not to all people. God is saying, my people, which means God has a particular and specific people. "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them." Women rule over them because the woman is the one through whom these laws are brought into enforcement. I don't want to beat the child. I don't wish to harm them. I want to talk to them. So now our children, if we institute or apply corporal punishment, they can pick up the phone and call the police. I remember the minister said when that suggested, Brother Ray know what I'm talking about, when he said, yeah, and if my child would say anything like that, he said, if you well enough to pick up the phone when
that's
I
right.
get through with you, then you can call them.
That's right.
I know that's right.
That's right. That's right.
Well, certainly we don't want to be abusive, but what the scripture is telling us is that there will be a point in our lives, in our history, in our sojourn, wherein children will have inordinate influence and authority and impact on the parents. It is because the parents have abdicated their responsibility to parent the child. And
go
then,
ahead,
of course, it's children having children. You'll find the mother in the same party spot with the child.
That's right. That's right.
And unfortunately, the father may be nowhere to be found. So this is a terrible condition that we are feeding. We are feeding
right.
it. Now, I'm going to close my remarks by saying this regarding Facebook, Twitter, and all of that. You know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us that filth abounds in America and throughout the world because there's a great appetite for it.
Yes.
But if you remove the appetite, then you remove the filth. So what we must do as parents, raise the child up in the way it should go. Make them God-centered and God-fearing. Be just. Be fair. But make them God-centered and God-fearing so that they will grow up with this appetite for filth and indecency. They won't be mesmerized by what is going on. You know, it's easy. You go on Facebook and a child that has never been taught about these things, never has been exposed to these things, when they see this, this is fascinating.
That's right. That's right.
It really is. This is what the minister said. It's fascinating to the child. And so I want to close my remarks with that. I want to exhort all of us. Once again, it's chapter 3, verse 12. But for those of you, our Christian brothers and sisters and Muslims as well, who hold the Bible up as your word, your guidance, what you believe in wholeheartedly from cover to cover, every word in it, well then, don't tell us you go by the Bible. That's the problem. You put it on your shelf or on the dashboard and you go by it, but you don't go into it. Read the Bible. For in it, and Quran, for in it is everything that we are going through today. So I wanted to point that out, Brother Ray, as I listen to your righteous complaint.
Yes, sir.
And
thank
anger.
You, sir.
So thank you for allowing me to say those words, Queen.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Thank you. Wa alaikum salam. And Brother Akira, I don't want to leave you out, beloved, but I wanted to get some more information about the missing children in Shreveport, Louisiana, because, you know, some places we just really don't hear about in mainstream media. So it's, how often are they coming and missing there? Brother Kerry,
well,
can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. They come up missing almost every day. It ain't no end to it. Some ain't no end to it. You got this media type that called Tango. You tango with friends. You don't know who you tangling with. It be strangers most of the time. So, yeah, you got to watch with the kids, watch and listen to on the internet or what they're getting on Facebook and Instagram and Tango and Twitter, all that. Man, it's so many websites that I bear witness to that could get our kids in very great danger if we don't watch what they do.
That's right. That's right.
And so as they get on now, you got some thinking to be women and all this here until you come on, let go of their house. You know, and you go there, you will never be seen again.
Ooh,
so
that's scary.
So down here, you really got, it's a lot that goes on if you don't watch the kids. You can't walk. Your kid can't be out here in no nighttime unless you with your kids. It's just awful. And you got some women that had the children and know that and they don't want them. They just lay down and they don't want them. And the kids end up in bad situations or going to bad families. Who you know what I'm saying, get custody of them. And the kid think he going somewhere that's good, but he really going somewhere that's bad. And that ain't good.
Wow.
And down here, we got so many Christian churches on one street that nobody don't get together and try to go and talk to people. You know, don't try to go help our people. The ones that need help. What about the poor and all of them that need help? The ones that starving out here on the street. That's why us in Nation of Shreveport, we do Feed the Hunger Day. And we go feed our people. We also is very overtaking of our children But you don't want to be too of a tester where you can lose a child. But you gotta know what not the child to do and what he should be doing. Don't child need to be on old Facebook or nothing like that at a young age. There's so much stuff on that. There's negativity. So many strange things that would inbox you. I bet when it is my queen one time was on Facebook and this man and popping up in the inbox, a pedophile. Talking about, hey, baby, and all this here. And she don't even know him. And you don't got to be a friend on Facebook to go on somebody's inbox. You could be a strange person and you still can manage to test that person.
It's
crazy.
So, Brother Akira, with you being 19 years old and you're a criminal justice student, you know, what do you think? And let me see, you're in Shreveport. And if I'm not mistaken, don't we have a mosque in Shreveport? Do we have a mosque,
yes, ma'am,
Brother Kerry?
We do.
Okay. So what has been the mosque's position when it comes to these missing children? Because not only the mosque, but I know Louisiana, I know they got some churches. You know, I know predominantly there are a lot of Catholic churches in Louisiana. Last time I rode through there, and that's all I do is ride through. But the churches, the mosque, you know, are there any organizations that are getting involved addressing this issue? I don't understand how any city can just have, you know, these astronomical amounts of children that come up missing, and there's no collective effort to organize the community to find these children. So when a child comes up missing, what is usually the response of the community? I know what the police are going to do. But Kira, tell us, what is the response of the community? Because we have to get people involved.
Well, really, to be honest, the nation of Shreveport, we're the most ones that's in the community trying to change and trying to bring it to, you know, a peaceful, like, building your heaven, like a heaven. Because we got like, 5 Christian churches on one street, but nobody's going to come out that don't help the people. They don't help the one who they feel that needs to be helped.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad because we on a 1 mile in Shreveport, and you got another Muslim, but they just, you know, they different. They don't claim what we claim. They don't follow Elijah Muhammad or Louis Farrakhan. So we really the only soldiers that's out here that trying to do this, because we trying to get some of these Christians out here to help us, but they're most likely only think about themselves. And they claim to be followers of Jesus, but to be followers of Jesus, you gotta walk like Jesus did and try to help the people.
Come on, brother, teach. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
It's just like when you're trying to speak truth to them, to the Christians, you know, you come up, you know what I'm saying, they'd rather listen to falsehood than listen to truth. I sit down with a lot of people, not just black, white also, and I teach the teachers. No matter if you're black, white, Mexican, it don't matter what you are. As a young student, I've been blessed with that. But I sit down with Christians, I sit down with other people, and I tell them about my teaching. I ran into a couple of Christians and I say, you know, I go to the Bible, because I was timid and read the Bible, so I don't want to listen to it. So I say, you read the Bible, then how come you don't know God came with T man? When I mention that, they go, oh my God, what? What are you talking about? But I say it's in your own book, and they go, I don't want to read it. I get them chapter. I say chapter 3, verse 3. I say go read it. But they rather not, you must read it. They just go and strive away from it. Like one of them told me that they rather listen to falsehood than to believe anything else, because we got so much negativity on being a Muslim. People think what they thinking. Like saying that we don't worship Jesus and all that, we don't believe in all that. And they don't actually know the true facts. That person got to know by nature they are Muslim.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. And who is the student minister there, Brother Kerry?
Brother Marvin Muhammad.
Okay, because I'm going to reach out to Brother Marvin.
Yes,
and I'm going to see if Brother Marvin can touch down with some of the churches there and come back and give us a report. Okay, now, the listening audience, I want to hear from you, because if you have ideas of how we can start search and rescue task force in our communities, we want to hear from you, because what's going to happen is that we're going to have a meeting next week with Student Minister Tony Muhammad, and we're going to put together any strategies that we obtained, and we're going to send the report to Minister Tony, and Minister Tony is going to critique it, and we're going to be sending that information up to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for review. But these are things that we are going to have to put in place. We're going to have to be proactive. Now, it's over 200 people on the phone. I want to hear from somebody tonight. So please, we need everybody to get involved. You cannot afford to turn a blind eye, because even if you have grown children, they're snatching grown folks. They're snatching your grown children. They're snatching you. You know, let's just keep it 100. So everybody has to be involved. Like I said, the sisters don't necessarily have to be on the street, but the sisters can do research and information. They can provide flyers of missing children. They can gather the data of how many children are missing just in your community. Just put in your zip code, and you can find out how many children are missing in your community, and you can put in that same zip code and find out how many pedophiles are living in your community. And you can address these people in a group effort and say, hey, you know what, have you seen this child? And then everybody can be vigilant about the child predators or sex offenders in their community, because I was looking at Dateline, 2 weeks ago, and they looked for this child for 9 months. And the registered sex offender that stayed 3 houses down, yes, the police went and questioned him, but since there were no witnesses and they had no obvious reason to search his home, they didn't. They just questioned him and walked away, and he had buried the child in his basement. And the child was dead within the hour after he abducted the child. This is how serious it is, not to mention the other things that are going on out there with sex trafficking and things of that nature. So that's crazy. But since there are a lot of new callers on the phone, I want to reiterate the numbers, because I know that initially when we started this about 4 or 5 shows ago, I reported that overall there were 949,700 youth missing under the age of 18 overall in the United States. And that of them, it was almost 300,000 black children that were missing. That's just under the age of 18. But what I discovered when I was directed to the Doe website, which is John Doe Jane Doe, it's called the Doe website, excuse me, I found out that there are indexes there that have not been cataloged with the Department of Justice. Pardon me. And these indexes go all the way back to the 1950s. So even though the U.S. Department of Justice started cataloging missing children in categories, whether they're black, white, Hispanic, or whatever, in age group, by gender, there are others that, okay, excuse me, I'm getting a little winded. There are others that have never been cataloged. And I want to encourage all of you to go on to that site. It's not for the faint at heart, because they do have pictures of deceased persons, but most of it is just information and pictures of when the person is alive. But we have well over the 300,000 that we thought were missing. We have clusters of missing children. And what I mean by that, I think I shared that between May and September, for the last 19 years of every month, I mean, between May and August, the same number of children that come up missing in St. Louis, ironically, that same amount of children come up missing in Florida. The only thing about it is that in Florida, it seems to be surrounded by Gainesville, is one. Miami, is not so much Miami, but more Gainesville, Florida, and St. Louis. And it's ironic, and maybe it's just me, but I've been tracking this for 19 years. It has never failed that the same amount of girls that come up missing between May and September in Florida is the same amount of girls that come up missing between May and September in St. Louis. The same amount of boys that come up missing in St. Louis equals the same amount of girls that come up missing in Florida. Now, I don't know what's up with that, but for 19 years, I have all of the records of every child that's been reported missing, and the numbers match every time. These are what you call cluster missing people. Seattle, Washington is another place where they have clusters of missing children. And that means that a certain amount of children come up missing all at the same time, and then all of a sudden there's nothing. And this could span from a year to 2 years to 3 years, but then when they start a number. So you might have serial killers or whatever that are traveling throughout the country, but we still need to plan and strategize on how we can best protect our community. So I'm going to ask you, Brother James, if you would, in your opinion, how do we first start to organize and bring forth or bring our people together on this issue in our community so that we can address them effectively?
Well, thank you, Queen Aziza. And as we had discussed in earlier shows, the first step, of course, is awareness. Bring this information to the knowledge, to the awareness of the public, particularly the black public. Why? Because we're so easily put to sleep. One of our flaws as a community is that we can't sustain a movement or a cause. We get angry, we get upset at some injustice or some crime where we are prominently the victims of, and then it dies. But we've got to keep the awareness going, keep information out, and widen the parameters of this information to the people or to the people that we are trying to reach. We've got to use Twitter. We've got to use Facebook. You know, I've never read anything regarding this on Facebook. I've never read anything regarding this issue on Twitter. I've never read anything in the social media, in the electronic media, unless something that they can sensationalize, such as that mass kidnapping in Nigeria, but nothing, especially domestically, and nothing of recent times. So we've got to put it there. We've got to put it there. So that's the first step. The second step, I believe, would be then to organize the people from their express or by their express concerns. We take it block by block, neighborhood by neighborhood. That's how we start. We've got to let the people know that they have pedophiles in their community. We've got to show them where they can go to look at this information. Then we've got to organize the people who are concerned, and I'm sure everybody will be concerned, but we start block by block, house by house, block by block, neighborhood by neighborhood, community by community, city by city, state by state. One of the beautiful realities that we have militarily and in terms of communication in the Nation of Islam is that we have a national network. We nationally go door to door. We nationally sell the nation's products. We nationally talk to our people. This is what we've got to employ to put this on the people's minds. So that's up to us. We still have to develop, of course, getting the quote-unquote law enforcement agencies who are responsible to protect and serve. We got to get them involved, but we have to hold them accountable.
That's right.
We've got to hold them accountable. We don't wait for them to act. That's on us. But we cannot allow them to escape accountability. We've got to be on their backs. These unsolved cases of missing children. Why are they unsolved? What energy have you put behind solving it? So that's on us. So I would say those are the three steps that we should take: awareness, organizing the neighborhoods, house by house, block by block, neighborhood by neighborhood, community by community, city by city, and state by state, and then hold the law enforcement agencies in our communities accountable. We don't accept that our babies are gone and it's just an unsolved case. Can you imagine the anguish of a mother and father?
Come on, brother.
That's unspeakable anguish. Not only have they lost their child, but they don't know where the child is, whether the child is alive or dead. That's unspeakable anguish. Now, why should we live with that? Why should anyone live with that? When we find the perpetrator and we do unto others as they have done unto us.
That's right.
Look, you know, if they don't fear consequence,
wow.
I don't care how crazy you are, you still want to breathe.
That's right.
Feel pain. And see, when people's minds are reduced to the level of an animal, you don't try to communicate with an animal with reason. It's just like, well, similar to raising a child. The child in her or his baby stages are in their animalistic stage. You trying to raise them, but you can't reason with a crawling baby. You can't reason with a little toddler. No. You have to touch them with a little pain, and the pain should be according to the violation.
That's right.
Or the potential danger. that the child will put his or herself in as a result of their behavior. Well, the same thing applies to those who may be adults physically, but their minds have atrophied or their minds have just deteriorated or reversed back to an animalistic stage. So you don't reason with animals. You touch them with pain. So even if they're crazy as hell, they'll know from the pain. Don't go there.
That's right.
Don't go there. So I think those are the initial steps and of our action effort, dear sister, in my humble opinion.
And Brother Minister James, if I can just kind of beat back off of a couple of points you made, sir. And if we, every Sunday, our churches are filled with our people, and we have a Sunday, we have a church service at 8 o'clock and at 11 o'clock and sometime at night, and if we can possibly get an agenda to the pastors and make them sensitive to the needs of what's happening in our community as it relates to the missing children, and see if they cannot do a news bulletin or even a sermon on what is happening with these abducted children. You mentioned social media. That is an excellent tool by which we can use to galvanize the support that we need and engage our young people in that effort, since they are the most technological savvy group of individuals. Why don't we make them mission oriented and say, if you could just do this for me, because they would love to do something. We just got to direct their actions.
That's right.
These are a couple of people in your age group, and then they can identify with that, because that could be, by the grace of God, one of them. And then they become sensitive to that, and then you can be you'll be amazed. I have a teen club. I have a young promotion team. I don't even have to put out flyers or spend no money on radio. I tell my promotion team that are all teenagers that the party is going to be here, and I can bring out 1,000 people in a matter of a week just off of Twitter and Instagram. So you can't tell me that we can't direct that energy into getting them to help us as it relates to this issue with missing children. These are not missing adults. These are children that are missing in their age group. And I think there'll be that they can buy more into it when they can see how they can play a role in it. Social media is absolutely the key and can be used to assist us in this effort here. So I'm hoping that Sis said that Queen said there was well over 200 people on here. I've heard from Brother Minister James and myself and Queen and a couple other people. Are there anybody else out there that may have some ideas or who are part of a church that could probably ask your pastor or organize your church community on this effort that we're trying to do?
That's right.
Yes, sir, Brother Ray. We got a call from area code 912, so we're going to open up their mic, and we want to ask Brother Kire to also, can he get his school involved? But hold on. Area code 912, your mic is live.
That's my nephew.
Assalamu alaikum. How's everyone doing this evening?
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Wa alaikum salam.
Fine, sir. How are you, Jamil Muhammad?
I am excellent. I'm actually happy to hear you all's voices. I didn't know it was going to be so easy, me getting on to the line. I thought it was much more difficult through radio, but this was actually quite efficient.
Now, for
all
those who don't know,
to Allah.
This
yes,
is
sir.
My nephew who is 22, 23 years old and an advocate for his community. He's a social media guru, and Jamil and we're discussing how we can get maybe your generation involved with assisting in the adoption of the children that are coming up missing, and saying, you know, maybe you have some ideas, some opinions that you can kind of throw out at us. You know, we're not as social media savvy as your generation is.
Okay. In the social media aspect, I would actually say it's more of a community-based situation. We as a community, and that's every race, that's every color, it's more of a mindset that I think needs to be focused. We as a community, when we see something that looks remotely suspicious, that's when we need to come together as a community and let each other know. I know in college, on campus, when we see certain things suspicious, because there is crime on every single campus, but we have to unite. And we have to let each other know what's going on if we see something suspicious, or, you know, if we see somebody that we don't know in our neighborhood, or, you know, someone hiding, or someone that looks like they're down bad, or, you know, it's having that level of community to let each other know what's going on, you know. And if, like I said, if we see somebody that seems homeless or abducted or stolen or anything like that, somebody needs to be alerted. I know I keep some people with me, so if I ever feel the need for something to go down, and I'm ready, you know, if I was to ever catch someone abducted. But I guess the question at hand is, how can my generation assist? And my generation can assist just like any other generation can assist by us just having unity, by us having community and unity. That's what I think. We have to be cognizant of what's around us, in our social set of circumstances, in our physical circumstances. That's all. I think that can save the issue right there, you know?
Wow. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, Brother Jamil.
Brother Kira?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so what school do you attend?
I attend Career Technical College. I transferred from Stanford University.
Okay, so what about your college campus? Do you think that's something that you can do to raise the awareness on your college campus?
Basically, I'm new to this campus here, but I was at Southern University before I came to Career Technical College. But yes, it was some things that needed to be aware of up there. So you do got some people that you really gotta, you know, really gotta look at. Cause you got some up there, you know, they tell you, they always talk about they good and all this stuff. That's why they love to help and all this stuff. They be the main ones to hurt you or hurt the people that you love or your friends or any other body. So when I was at Southern University, it's more of a black population than in the other college university in Shreveport. And I've seen some of our women up there in clothes that you can see their bottoms, you see their bottom hanging out, not going to sit. And that ain't good to try to attract that kind of attention. Because you can actually get hurt or killed or, you know, somewhere that you had no idea or never thought of where you'll be.
Yeah.
So I really think they should watch how women come and dress up there and watch how some of the teachers, you know, be alert of some of the teachers, because even some of the teachers are bad.
Well, yeah, we know that. We know that.
Yeah.
But the important part is that we get everybody involved, because even the worst of us, if you want to classify anybody in that category, I'm not saying that, I'm not judging anybody, but None of us want to come up missing. None of us want our children to come up missing. Everybody can get involved. So everybody who is involved in any institution or organization, be it church, be it the Black Panthers, I don't care if you're a Crip or Blood, a Rolling 60, I don't care what you are, 5'8", whatever you are, Vice Lord, whatever you are, everybody can get involved in this. Okay, we're going to take another question from the phone line. So area code 804, your mic is now live.
Hi, Assalamu Alaikum. This is Natasha X from Richmond, Virginia.
Alaikum salam.
Alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. Sister Queen, I was just thinking, as you were saying, what can we do to give awareness? And I just came up with the thought, you know, every time I'm on Facebook on different days, I see so many things trending on, you know, Throwback Thursday and whatever they have for different days. And I'm thinking, if we don't, why can't we do Missing Monday? And on Monday, I have over 1,000 friends. And my other friends have thousands of friends. So if on Mondays, that's all we should put out there, and we trend on Mondays and just shooting out awareness of missing children, statistics, and everyone.
Excellent idea.
Yes, everyone. And that's all we're going to talk about on Monday. That's all we're going to post about. And if everyone collectively does, we will flood Facebook with it. We can flood Twitter with it on Mondays. And it will be trending. We made the minister trend when we had the time of what must be done. We were trending.
That's right.
So when we all come together and do this on Monday, Missing Monday, and we can start Monday and just putting out all the information and ask all your friends and all your family to post nothing but information about that. And I think that will start the trend, and we're going to have a great Monday. Every Monday, we can find people this way.
That's excellent. That's a
beautiful idea, sister.
Yes. Wow. Ain't nothing like a CT.
That's right.
Nothing like
a CT. That's right.
That's right.
Sister Tasha is that sister who brought Respect for Life Academy to our attention and helped those babies search for those missing children. So all praise is due to Allah. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, right?
So school has just ended for Respect for Life. So I've actually, at my last MGT class, spoke with some of the sisters after MGT class for us to get with the students from Respect for Life, because they're, you know, school is out now. So we're going to help them with those children that they were looking into during the school year of the missing. So us, the MGT, are going to, you know, go out there with them and try to help them and continue it throughout the summer and continue throughout the, you know, rest of the time. Just to, we don't want it to die.
That's right.
You know, because we won't see, a lot of our students from Respect for Life are not members of the Nation of Islam. They are in our community. So we want to keep a hold of them. So the MGT has said, yes, we want to help. So I got to finish gathering some information and get it back to the MUT. But we're not going to let this out. We're going to continue to push on and bring awareness with the help of Allah.
Yeah.
So thank you again for this show, because it has helped us here in Richmond. You know, a lot of, like the brother said, people want things to do. We just have to be pushed in the right direction. We just have to give our people what to do. They are willing to help. So all praise be to Allah.
Queen, this is Brother Ray. Could we possibly solicit Brother Jesse out of Houston? Because we got Farrakhan Twitter Army. And Farrakhan Twitter Army allowed the minister to trend not only nationally but globally for many weeks. I know out of the 58 weeks that we did the time and what must be, he did the time and what must be done, at least 42 weeks we trended nationally. And then that was a few weeks that we trended globally. So we can, if I need to reach out to Brother Jesse, Brother Atrium, all of those who was involved with organizing Farrakhan Twitter Army, because we got an army. And if we're going to be on social media, we might as well let the general give the orders to the army. And mm-hmm. sister who just spoke on that missing children Monday, my nephew just sent me a text, hashtag missing children Monday. That should be the hashtag going out. So I'm going to call Brother Jesse myself. I'm going to call Brother Jesse myself. I'm going to call those who I communicate. Now, I have well over 1,500 Facebook friends, well over 1,000 those on Twitter and Instagram. We can do this if we commit to it.
That's
just
right.
Just like we committed to Farrakhan trending all those weeks. What is more important than the finding of our babies, man? There's nothing more important than that.
That's
and Brother
right.
James can probably find this scripture, suffer the little children to come unto me for what for such the Father does. So we can do this. So I'm going to reach out after this hookup, after this call, I'm going to reach out to Brother Jesse. I'm going to reach out to Brother Mari. I'm going to reach out to Brother Adrian. I'm going to reach out to those individuals who I see on Twitter, whom I communicate with constantly. And ask
That's
them
right.
to be a part of this movement that we got going on. So I think by this time next week we'll have some major reports to bring. And on Monday we start hashtag missing children Monday, whatever we want to call it, but hashtag missing something, so we can bring the awareness, as Brother Minister James said, raise the awareness. So now we'll get involved because we know about it.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Beautiful.
Wow. Thank you, Brother Jamil and Sister Tasha. Man, what a wonderful, wonderful, excellent idea. See, that's what I'm saying. We together can come up with everything. And these are the things that we have to, you know, this is how we come together to work on everything. So, you know, I can't help but think about the economic blueprint. You know, we have to prepare ourselves to run a nation, to run a world.
That's right.
And this
That's
is
right.
the same model that we can use to accomplish any and everything that we desire and obtain every and anything that we need just by having a collective effort and us all coming together to get the work done. That is mm-hmm. absolutely amazing. And I know I'm on Facebook almost every day, and I promise you it never came to my mind that, you know, this was something that we can do. Just on a daily basis, even if it's nothing but one time a day, because I know between two pages I have 5,000 friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm going to encourage all of my Facebook friends to just post one time a day, even, and that's 5,000 plus right there. You know, so all praise and due to Allah. Thank you for that idea, Sister Tasha and Brother Jamil. For being so creative. Okay, we want to hear from some more y'all. St. Louis, Houston, Florida, D.C., L.A., San Diego, San Francisco, Virginia, Bermuda, Panama. Who else we? I don't know the area codes. Okay, New York. We want to hear from y'all. We want to hear from everyone tonight. Okay,
that's right.
So now, let me say this. What about the other black organizations like, I don't really consider the NAACP black, but let's just say for the lack of a better, was I not supposed to say that? I'm sorry. I just don't. And, you know, our black organizations, the Urban League, the Black Panther Party. You know, I've tried to reach out to some of them, the Hebrew Israelites, all of these black organizations that we have. You know, I think we need to be able to hit home and let them know how important this effort is, because when they're snatching our children, they're not asking them what organization you belong to. You know,
they're
just snatching our babies. And so we have to involve everybody. And I know everybody knows somebody who's in one organization or the other, especially, I hate to say this, but Allah just put it in my spirit. You know, the Catholic Church can really start to make amends on some of all that other foolishness that they got themselves involved in.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm telling the truth. I ain't got time to play.
That's right.
You know, they could really make amends, and I'm just saying, you know, they've done enough damage to whereas when we go through the process of atonement, don't we try to do something to correct the wrong?
Absolutely. Repent.
Is that not the practice?
Right.
So they need to reach out to the Catholic Church and ask them to utilize some of their resources and their manpower to get, you know, this information out to the public as well as, well, I don't know if they need to get involved or not, but I'm going to save that for another day. But at least assist in promoting the effort to find our missing children. We want all of the FOI. We want to set up a fund. And I don't, you know, people get fickle when it comes to money. But the only thing this fund is going to be good for is promoting and getting the information out on the missing black children. Of course, flyers and posters and things of that nature, those things cost money. And so we can raise money to do that. We can, you know, I don't like to take donations because I think people respond better when they actually get something for their money. So, you know, we need to set up a fund where we can create flyers, where we can create posters, where we can have a command post in your community where mothers and fathers and siblings or whoever will know who to call when your child comes up missing. Yes, you want to call the police first, but after you make that initial call to the police and they tell you about the 72-hour deal or whatever that is, then you need to be able to call the Missing Children's Task Force in your community and get boots on the ground looking for your child within the first 15 minutes. And I think that all of us will be more successful in finding our children instead of waiting, you know, for law enforcement to respond, take a report, and get your DNA and your firstborn and, you know, all of that rigmarole that they take you through. And by that time, you know, your child could perish. So we need to really step up the effort and be serious about it. You know, we can't be lackadaisical in this because while we're sitting up here planning and strategizing right now, at this moment, some child is dying.
And That's real.
Yeah. There's a child comes up, according to the U.S. Department of Justice, one child comes up missing every 2 minutes, and every 4 minutes, a child dies by the hands of a serial killer or a pedophile. And those statistics are alarming. So as we're even talking about it right now, some precious baby has taken their last breath. And that's real.
That's real.
And it's unfortunate. But you cannot tell me that as smart, as educated as many resources that we have, that we cannot get a handle on this. I will never, ever believe that. So please, if anybody else can have any other ideas or you just something that you want to share some, you know, some situations that's going on in your community with missing children, anything that you know that you want to alert us to, please let us know because we want to put that information out there. Okay, is Brother Jamil still with us?
Nephew.
I think he's offline.
I'll check.
Brother, you said Brother Jamil?
Okay.
Yes, sir. There you go.
Yeah. Oh, y'all have to forgive me. I was just walking through this tunnel. I lost my signal there. But, yes, ma'am, I am here. I am here, sister.
Okay, yes, sir. And, Brother Jamil, I want to ask you because I know that you are working on a project with my brother right here with Club 17. And, you know, I want to know from your age group, because you're about 21, 22 or something like that, right?
Yes, ma'am. I just turned 23 on the 8th of June. All praise is due to Allah. So, yes, ma'am.
Happy belated.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
I really appreciate that.
Yes, sir. And you know, you're quite still quite a young man. And, you know, I know a lot of young men your age, you know, I think the thing is, you know, you want to be entertained, you know. And I know that that's a big part of being young because, believe it or not, I was once 22 myself. But I want to ask you, how prevalent do you think it is? How feasible do you think it is that we can get your age group involved in this effort to find missing children? Because, you know, they used to say old men for counsel and young men for war. Okay, so we got, you know, some of us in our 50s and 60s, you know, we probably can't get out there like we used to. What do you think would motivate the young people to actually get involved in this process?
As far as motivation, I don't think motivation is the issue. I think it's just a large amount of us are distracted, and unfortunately we don't know that we're distracted. I think that's the major issue that much of the youth, teenagers, are going through at this point in their lives. Simply because, you know, that's just how the media is working right now. So once we step out of that, but what we can do is we can make it more comfortable and we can make it more comfortable to them. As far as our social networks, I think it's a blessing and a curse. But what we can do is we can just manage it appropriately. The sister's idea of missing children Mondays, I felt like that was one of the best ideas I've heard in quite some time. I think that I'm going to definitely talk with our CEO of Club 17, but that's something I would definitely love to put on our Twitter and our Facebook consistently every Monday, because community service is very important to our company, sister. Extremely, extremely important to our company. That's what we're built on. So any way that we can engage the youth, and we have about 6,000 followers on Twitter now. So I know that we can get this trending, especially with the support of the Muslims from all around the nation. I love this radio station. So I'm just very, very happy to be a part of this, sister. So that's my plan at this point. I'm already just thinking of different sites that I can look on to find missing children in our area here in Georgia, so that I can assist, so that we can assist in ending this abduction of young children, because I think that is one of the worst things in the world to ever even have to imagine to be abducted.
That's right. That's right.
Well, you have my permission to get started, sir.
Yes, sir. You know, I didn't want to be informal, Uncle Ray. I wanted to wait until we got off the phone and ask you.
No, sir, you have my permission to go get started immediately.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Yes.
Say no more.
Okay. And Brother Akiri, we don't want to leave you out. So, Brother Akiri, do you think you could ask maybe for next Saturday, Brother Marvin, and maybe some of the FOI to come on to our broadcast next Saturday night?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I can totally do that.
Okay, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to inbox you my phone number for you to give the student minister Marvin and have him call me, and we'll let him know what's going on. And, of course, we want to get the FOI more involved with the churches and any black organizations that you may have down there. And I'm going to send out a message to my Soros, my AKA sisters, y'all need to get
okay.
on board. My alphas, my brothers, the deltas, the omegas, you Qs, everybody need to get on board with this. And so, you know, I'm just thinking about the other organizations that we have, and I found, how did I forget the Divine Nine? I forgot them. But I certainly am going to reach out to the Greek family and
that's right.
help petition them as well. And Brother James, I know we have the BYC down there in Tampa, but what
yes,
about some of the ministers at the churches?
Well, certainly
area.
We can get them involved, dear sister. We'll be right
okay.
on it. We'll be right on
All
it.
Right.
We know many of the pastors here. This is an issue that transcends religious lines. And anybody that would offer
exactly.
that as a reason why they could not work with us on the prevention and ultimately the end of our children and all children being abducted and then trafficked in sex and other activities as slaves,
yeah.
really.
Yeah.
You know, the enemy calls it white slavery. That's interesting. White slavery.
Oh.
You see? What is the
yeah.
difference between black and that? Letting you know that there is a difference.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
But, yeah. So certainly we can do that, and by the help of Allah, we will do that.
Yeah.
yeah. You're giving me another reason to get in the pulpit, sister. You know, I'm always looking for a reason.
Well,
yes, sir.
You know, but I think a lot of times we get a little tickled when we talk about law enforcement. And I tell you, I'm just so not afraid to say when it comes to this issue, I have to be brutally honest about law enforcement. When you're dealing with life, life is so very precious, because if your car gets stolen, inshallah, in a day or two, or a week or two, a month or two, a year or two, or whatever, you can get another one. If your house catches on fire and burn down to the ground, you can get another one. When it comes to your child, you can't replace that.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I keep pushing working with law enforcement, and a lot of people may question why I say that. The reason why I say that is because 85% of the time, those things that are illegal, that are going on, they are an excellent resource of information. The second reason why I say that is because when you're dealing with an enemy, you keep your enemy in front of you. not behind. So that is part of what we have to do. We know that anytime we as a people organize and come together in any kind of group setting, law enforcement gets concerned. And we want to involve them on our actions and our intentions because we don't want anything to impede on our efforts. To do this is to include them. Now, all of you people who live in major cities like Miami, Dallas, Austin, L.A., you know, wherever major city you live in, you have to involve yourself with city council in order to make sure that you are getting the message out to your community. City council have different meetings about different districts or jurisdictions, however they're done. I know in Texas they're done in districts. It's important that you go to your district meeting and let them know your concern. Now, imagine if all the major metropolitan cities met with their district city council meeting on this issue alone, that will raise the issue itself nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to depend on the media to put it out there. But if we have serious concerned citizens that are going in and meeting with city council to address this issue, and we have to utilize everybody. So why not include our elders? Most of them are retired. Most of them have the time and the opportunity, and they, you know, they have actually the demeanor to go in there and deal with the issue in our community. So if we will communicate with our elders and ask them to represent us in city council, in these town hall meetings concerning this issue, we are still involving everybody. There's not one person that can do everything, but everybody can just do a little something.
Yeah.
So all of our able-bodied people, you ask your elders to go speak to city council. And believe it or not, young politicians, whether they want to hear what they got to say or not, they have much respect for the elders.
That's right.
They have respect for the elders. The elders are the taxpayers or have paid the taxes. The elders are still the pillar in the community. They are still, you know, the voice of wisdom and direction. And most of our districts are represented by people who look like us. If we voted them into office, more than likely we voted them into office because they look like us. So elders can play into the conscience of a politician. And if we have this going on in every major city in America, it will bring the awareness and it will put the pressure on them to be more proactive in their efforts to find our missing children. Now, we only have about 20 more minutes. We was going to expand this show until 3 hours, but I really can't do it tonight. I've been on the air since 2 o'clock straight. So I think I've really overextended myself a little bit. But I want to, and I think I had to mute Brother Akira's phone. But so I got Brother Akira. He's going to put me in touch with Brother Marvin. And then Brother Jamil, he's going to do his thing. And Brother James is going to talk to the pastors. And, of course, we got the excellent idea from Sister Tasha earlier. Is there anybody else? We want to hear from y'all. We have all these people on the phone. And if you're taking information in, I really appreciate it. But we really want you to share your ideas. And so, Brother Ray.
Yes, ma'am.
With you, my dear brother, my brother is everywhere. But Brother Ray, with Club 17, which I know the grand opening is going to be the 4th of July, you know, what any other ideas that you think you may have that can help promote this effort?
Well, what we're going to do, and I'm so glad that Jamil is on the line with us and have been given the go-ahead to start putting advertising and promoting the missing children and bringing the awareness up just that we promote the party and promote foolishness. So he's been given that authority to do that now, you understand. I'm also going to contact my fraternity, which is the greatest one out there, Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. I'm going to contact them as well too. I'm on Twitter as we're speaking now. I'm tweeting the people whom I said that I would tweet, Brother Jesse and Brother Mari, Brother Atrium. I'm tweeting Farrakhan Twitter Army now as we're speaking, because that's what we do when the minister comes on during the time and what must be done. So they're hitting me back, and I want everybody to be a part of next week's broadcast, so that you have a wide spectrum of ideas and opinions coming from these young people, because we're not going to be able to do it without them. And they can move more on this social media aspect than we can. So yep. We're going to do everything humanly possible now to put that at the forefront of our mind. I'm going to be making contact with my connects down in Atlanta, Derek Bozeman, Let Us Make Man, my organization of Let Us Make Man. And we're going to get on the radio where Derek talks about 250,000 Atlantians and people throughout the country every day, 5 days a week, so we can start announcing this. We want to see if we can get yourself and Father Brother Minister James and others on his show just to bring awareness to the efforts that we're doing, because we ain't all about trying to find these missing children. I don't know what the hell else we're doing. To be honest with you, I can't say it no more plainer than that. You see, we get in the rostrum, we get in the pulpits, we preach and we teach, and all of that segment of our lecture now should be dedicated towards the missing children and the efforts that we're trying to do. So I'm gonna reach out to those in the nation whom I know. I'm gonna reach out to the captains in the nation whom I know, who are the responsible ones to train and develop the men, and whether they're on board or not, the bottom line is we have to continue the movement of what we're doing. So by Allah's grace, you're going to see movement starting tomorrow on this effort. It is Father's Day. And you're going to see movement from our end, especially Club 17 and Hat Bus Entertainment. You're going to see movement from the company that, by God's grace, that we own. And I'm hoping that the companies that own this line can kind of follow suit and have your employees and those whom you know in that business arena, get them involved with what we're doing. Because, you know, a closed mouth can't get fed. And if we don't put the information out, then people are not aware how they can help.
Mm. Yes, sir.
So I'm tweeting right now as we speak, and I'm tweeting.
All praises due to Allah.
Oh,
very good.
Well, you go ahead with the multitask himself. I'm too tired to tweet it right now. But thank you, Brother Ray, and thank you all so, so very, very much. Okay. So now, I really don't know what to say, but I want to encourage all of you, if you get an opportunity, to go to the DOE website. I think that as sad and morbid as it may be, it will inspire you to look into the faces and the profiles of youth missing children. And I want you to think about you being a parent. and your child is missing. And your child is missing for years, and you never know what has happened to them. And before we got this technology, there were so many parents who actually went to their graves not knowing the fate of their children. What astonished me so about the DOE website was that it appears, because I didn't, for some reason, I couldn't find a number of how many people was actually in their database. Mm. But it seems as though there are hundreds of thousands. Mm. And what they've done, they have used age progression photos. They have used photos that were actually turned in to the police. And then there are many cases where the photos are no longer available because if they were a paper photo back in the 1940s or 50s or whatever, then they've gotten lost, they've gotten destroyed. So the only thing you can see is maybe the circumstances of the child coming up missing, where and when they came up missing. But they will tell you that if it was a black male or a black female or a white male or white female or whatever, you look at that page and you look at the indexes, and each index may contain 1,000 names. And the indexes are immeasurable. And I want you to think about being a parent and not ever knowing what happened to your child. And we're in a blessed time because we can actually go online to the DOE website, and it might take us forever and a day to look through those indexes and try to find a missing person that has been missing for a long time or for a short time or whatever. But just imagine how you would feel if that would happen to you.
That's right.
Because I want to get in touch with the human side of all of us. You know, you can't imagine if you have, you are the parent right now of a 5 or 6 year old. Can you imagine looking at your baby in his or her face tonight and not knowing that that may be the last time you see him? Can you imagine sending your 12 or 13 or 14-year-old off to school and getting that last hug that morning or that last kiss that morning, and you never, ever see that child alive again? In some cases, you never ever see the child again. You cannot imagine the anguish. But more so, I share with you what these children go through. A lot of them go through the torture, the abuse, and then the death. Mm. And this is not something that anybody can afford to ignore. And now we're talking about children, and the children, the statistics that I gave you are clearly only the children under the age of 18. But now there's a whole new category, or a whole another category of children or people ages 19 to 25. Then they got 25 to 54. Then they got 54 and above. And the numbers of black missing in each category is astronomical. And what was surprising to me, which shouldn't have been, is that there were more boys than girls. And I thank Allah for my father, who was 75 years of age when I was born. And my father was the father of 31 children, 23 boys, and 8 girls. And I can't tell you the volume of wisdom that I was blessed to witness, that I'm still blessed to witness by my oldest brother, Leroy. Happy Father's Day, Leroy, who will be 108 years old this month. Yes, this month.
Allahu Akbar.
Yes, yes. She will be 108 years old. And my brother Darius, who just turned 90, my sister Vivian, who is 96. To have siblings that old, you get this history.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother Darius shared with me that, as I was talking to him, he's one of my main advisors, along with my brother Prentice Ray, and he shared with me, he said that when black men come up missing, most of the time, that's a police action. Now, I know I'm harping on the police, but we have to think about it, because even though we have sex trafficking nowadays, but you imagine your son walking down the street, maybe from a basketball game, 10 o'clock at night. Who is he more likely to stop for? Mm. Either a girl, but if he stop for a girl, he ain't gonna come a missing hardly. But usually he's detained by the police. And what happens is that if your child comes up missing and there's no evidence of foul play, the child just disappeared, we don't have no witnesses, blah, 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 blah. Usually, I would say maybe in 20 or 30% of the cases, law enforcement is involved. And I'm putting it out there because it's the truth. And when you call the police and say, this is my missing child, and they didn't beat the hell out of him and dropped him in the river somewhere, you're not going to get any help. They're forever missing. My father was the one that told me that if you drain the Mississippi River, you will find that it was the largest cemetery in America for black people.
Wow.
Always from the slave trade. Because once you go down in the, you don't come up. And, you know, this has an all too familiar ring to it in our history. Not that I was there 150 something years ago, but it's all too familiar. This is the plight of our people. We are suffering in a way that no other people really suffer. And when it comes up to missing children now, white people exceed us 9 to 1.
Mm.
Why that is, I don't know.
Wow.
Uh-oh. But can't be concerned about other people as much as we are. We have to start being concerned about ourselves. Because I tell you that I think this is the one thing that white people and black people can come together on. Because as much as we see white people display when their children come up missing, half of them don't get the help either. Half of them don't get the attention either when it comes to their missing children unless they're under extraordinary circumstances. And that's because the numbers are too great. But when they do come up missing, you have all these kind of search parties because they have the resources and they have the, you know, EquiSearch, and they can call in John Walsh and all these other people, and they can pool their resources together. And they can raise award money. We can't put any price on our children, but we can put our boots on the ground and help find our children. And I can't push that enough. I can't even express to you the fear of what a missing child goes through. But I can tell you, being a missing child myself, that if I did not know the God that I serve, I would have been terribly, terribly afraid. And I was only 13 years old at the time. But at that time, again, I thank Allah for my father. This is my pre-Father's Day message. I thank Allah for my father for giving me Islam. Because even in my 8 days of captivity, I wasn't raped. I wasn't abused. And I knew Allah was with me beyond a shadow of a doubt. So I was never afraid. But I heard the stories of other girls that have been fortunate enough to get away, and they can't still today get over the fear. So you imagine this from any child. And I wanna play into your soft side. I wanna tap into your heart if I can, because we talk about a lot of things on these Blog Talk Radio shows. Many people have Blog Talk Radio shows. I thank Allah for the audience that I have. I think even last week we reached another pinnacle. I think 175,000 in 1 week. All praises due to Allah. I have never had that number before. But I thank Allah, because if we're not doing something worthwhile, then everything that we've done has been for naught. Mm-hmm. So that's why each show is tailored with the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because we're trying to help. We're trying to save lives. Nobody on these airways is trying to win a popularity contest. It's because I know for myself, I know Brother James, I know Brother Ray, you know, I know Brother Kareem, and all of the hosts, Brother Jameer, everybody, that we love our people. We love you. And this is all for us to try to help and enhance the lives of everybody that listens to us. And so I want to ask all of you next week to invite somebody else to listen, and maybe they have ideas of how we can solve this problem, because it is a problem. And hopefully we'll be joined by Student Minister Tony Muhammad. I'm going to try to pull my student minister, Robert Muhammad, away from all of his work and have him on. I want as many people on as we can. If I have to get extra phone lines, we'll get extra phone lines. We have to go 4 hours, we'll go 4 hours. Whatever we have to do to get it done. Now, let me say to Brother Akire and Brother Jameel, I don't know if you're a father yet or not, Brother Ray and Student Minister James Muhammad, may Allah bless you, and we thank you for being stand-up gentlemen. We thank you for being FOI, and we thank you for being true fathers in our world and in our nation. May Allah bless you to continue to be that example to all of us, and especially to our young fruit, our young men who are coming up. I tell you, as a girl, I love my father. I still love my father. We don't speak as Muslims as being dead. So even though my father, if he was living, he would be 124 years old, I still love my daddy. And that's an undying love. And so I want to reach out to the fathers who may be away from their children and who have not seen their children for however long, for whatever reason. You know, answers to why a person don't see their children. But I tell you, I want to encourage you to find your children and establish that relationship, because it's nothing like it. Every day that you breathe, you have an opportunity to fix it. So I'm asking you on this Father's Day to reach out to your children, no matter where they are, no matter what the circumstances are. Make it right with the mother where you can establish a relationship with that child, because that child only goes around once, and so do you. And so it's not something you can come back and fix later on, but as long as you have life, take the opportunity to develop that relationship with your child, because it's vitally important. Our unity is more powerful than anything. So let us put our families together, and then our families can put our communities together, and then as a community we can put our nation together. Because that is the cornerstone of a nation, and that's family. And if we're fighting amongst one another, we will never accept people. So let us all come together with our families. Happy Father's Day to every father in the listening audience. Thank you, brothers Akira, Brother Jamil, Brother Ray, Student Minister James. Thank you so, so, so very much. I love you all, and we're going to leave you as we came before you in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. And tune in tomorrow, 6:30.
Wa alaikum salam.
Special, yes, 6:30 tomorrow with Brother Jamil, our Father's Day special. So I look forward to seeing all of you there. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.